This is Finally Alive Radio, where we discuss God, relationships, and you. If you're looking for answers, you've come to the right place. Visit us at finallyaliveradio.com. That's finallyaliveradio.com. Now, let's get ready to listen to some amazing truth from God's counsel with your very own Christian counselor, Gary Aris.
Hello, friends, and thank you for joining us today at Finally Alive Radio. I'm your host, Gary Aris, your very own Christian counselor. And don't forget to visit us at finallyaliveradio.com, where you can download this episode and every other episode absolutely free. You know, growing up, I've seen a lot of things change, and I don't think I'm that old. But I have to say that I think I've seen a lot of things change. Movies are different, shows are different on TV. Obviously, the styles of clothes that we wear, totally different. Well, actually, it's kind of coming back now that I think about it, the 80s. But I guess besides clothes. And one of the bigger things I've seen is attitudes have changed. Some things for the better and some things for the worse. Though some things have become easier because of technology, other things have become more difficult. Sure, I can send an email or see family on Facebook, but most people, interestingly enough, feel even further away from friends and family. What an interesting phenomenon, I think, thinking about that. Just perhaps it's a false sense of belonging or being. I mean, you see their pictures, so it feels like you're there, but you really aren't. I mean, once you kind of sit down and think about that, it really dawns on you, well, wait a minute, I'm not really involved in my friend's life at all. I just get to see their pictures. But something even larger than that in technology is the issue of the role of men. The household dynamics have changed. I think it's interesting to have a man cave now. So strange. I mean, back when I was a kid, the whole house was the dad's. The whole house belonged to the man. It belonged to mom too, but there didn't have to be a designated place for dad to be, where now there has to be a designation for where dad has to sit and relax. Things have changed. And the biggest thing of all, thinking through all of this, is how uninvolved parents, fathers, men have become in their home. Yes, see, things like this spark my curiosity. I always wonder, what is going on? And my take on this is, from the spiritual perspective, I think it's a wonderful strategy. A wonderful strategy. You divide and conquer. What better way is there to take over? After all, the forces of evil, if you will, they only have one plan, and that is to conquer. Just like God's side wants to conquer and will conquer. It seems as though we have a society that pushes promiscuity for both male and females to go out and explore. And I think this is natural for the human race. We tend to swing like a pendulum. We go from one extreme to another. Once in a while, we're lucky enough to end up in the center where there's a decent balance, but it's never quite centered. It always seems to fall off, and that's just human nature. But it seems like we're taking a swing from oppressing women from the past to now oppressing men. We live in a day and time where men can't express themselves. And if they do, they're chauvinistic pigs. Now, I'm not saying there aren't chauvinistic pigs. There are some. And a lot of them have been in the news lately. But all because there are some pigs doesn't mean that they're all pigs. There are actually good ones out there still. And I always wonder to myself, why does the government push certain things and not others? And what I mean is, study after study, it shows that having both parents in the home tend to have the highest success rates in life. Having both parents, specifically having dad in the home, that's what the studies say. Having a father in the home, the kids are less likely to be promiscuous, less likely to go to jail, less likely to use drugs, less likely to be abusive. Again, study after study shows this, but why isn't this promoted? Why isn't this the centerpiece to all of or most of society's problems? Does that make you wonder? It makes me wonder. You know, today we have the feminist movement, which And I'll say this, so I want you to understand how I'm trying to be fair here. I think feminism in the beginning, when it first started back in the 19th century, there were good intentions. Sure, edgy in those days, but great intentions. The feminist movement then was necessary. But here's the problem with a lot of movements, PETAs, a similar situation here, if you ask me. What happens is they come out with a great cause, great intentions, good intentions. But where they lost out today, the feminist movement is not the same feminist movement it started out to be. So where they lost out is that they got what they fought for. And after they fought for what they wanted, there was nothing else to fight for. And to explain it in a more technical term, first wave feminism, that was all about the right to vote and all those types of things, which is great. I agree. Women should vote. Yes, I'm on board. It wasn't until the second wave, what they call the second wave feminism, that it really started to get out of control. And even in the second wave feminism, there were still things in there that, yes, needed to be talked about. I don't disagree with that. But how it started off and the reasons it started off in the first wave is not what the second wave is and now what the third wave is. And I'm not unrealistic. I know that there are horrible men out there, and that's what I want to talk about, is that there are horrible men. There are men who have become losers. It exists. I'm not denying that. But just as I see in couples counseling, I tell every couple, every time I meet them the first time, one of the main questions I ask them is, look, are you both willing to admit that you've done something wrong in this relationship? If one of them is hesitant or says no, I cannot move forward. I will tell them that. I cannot move forward, because time after time, experience and proof has shown that no matter what the sin was in the relationship, no matter who did the bad thing, they both take part in the fault. And I'm going to apply that same idea here when it comes to feminism and when it comes to men. Both men and women are responsible for the problem of men not being, if you will, welcome in their own home. Fatherless homes. Both take responsibility for that. Many times I look at a couple, you know, whether in session or not, and I wonder, you know, for example, the wife might complain about the guy, and I think to myself, I mean, you didn't see some of these things before you married them? Which makes me think, sure, he may be a horrible person, he may be a bad guy, but you're also at fault for choosing this person. Which takes me back to parenting. If parents would teach their children how to choose friends, how to choose a spouse, wouldn't it be less likely for those children of those days and our children today to choose higher quality people, a better fit for them in life? So I'm not putting all the blame on feminism. I don't think that's fair. But yes, today's feminism definitely plays a role, just as men play a role in the issue today. Like I said earlier, it's a swing. Humanity does this. It's a swing from one extreme to another. Way back when women couldn't vote, they were denied certain rights. Now extreme feminism wants to do the same thing. They want to deny certain rights to men. Again, the swing, it's just there. It's natural. This is what's going to happen in society. The core of this is going to be that we've taken God out of life. We've pushed him out of the schools. We've pushed him out from the government, the court system, because one of the foundational pieces to this country, USA, was in God we trust. It's still to this day on our money, on our coins. It's there. It is a key element. But what happens when you push them out? You will see repercussions in life. You will see the fruit, the rotten fruit, if you will, of a country falling apart. My friends, this show is made possible because of supporters like you. See, my friend, this message isn't just for you, but it's also for others, and there's others who will not be able to hear it. But if you can support us today, that's going to help us and assist us in getting this message out. My aspect of the ministry is doing my best to give you what God has given me. Your aspect is to help support this ministry. And by you supporting, we can get this out further, you know, down the line, perhaps even make it a longer show, but we can only do it with your support. Will you be the one that will show support to this ministry? Please go to finallyalive.com/give. That's finallyalive.com/give. We appreciate your support to help keep this ministry going worldwide. Again, we thank you.
Would you like to download this episode for free? Now you can. FinallyAliveRadio.com has every episode ready for download absolutely free. Visit us at FinallyAliveRadio.com. That's FinallyAliveRadio.com.
One of the rotten fruit is this. On certain campuses, depending on where you go, there are feminist groups that will tell the lie that women would prefer sex without the emotional attachment. That is a clear-cut lie. That's literally impossible to do. Women are programmed from birth to be emotional. And to say that you can separate that from sex is insane. But take God out and you'll have rotten fruit. Lies like this. Because what you're telling men in that case is to not respect women. It's to not love them, use and abuse them. It's interesting. The same thing feminism is telling us to do, respect women, is the exact opposite that they're telling you to do on the other hand. On one hand, you're telling me to respect women. On the other hand, you're saying don't respect them by not caring about how they feel, not worrying about emotions and their attachments. That is insane. And see what happens with men. Because naturally, men are fixers. We know that. Men are fixers. They want to fix. You put a problem on the table, we start to think. We start to try to figure out what we can do to try to fix. The other thing we need as men is to be praised. You don't need to like that, but that's just how we work. Just like most women want to be appreciated and loved and cherished, men need praise. You tear those two from men. You tear those two important facets from men, you begin to breed irresponsible men. Men who are not going to talk to you, who are not going to give you any worth because you have not given him any worth. I put the blame on both. Not one, both. What does a man have to strive for if he doesn't get praise by his wife? On the flip side, a lot of men haven't been taught what manhood is. We could say the same thing for women. A lot of women maybe never got a chance to learn what a father was, what kind of a dad, what a dad was supposed to be like. Look, this is heartbreaking. Okay, these things I say, I don't say to attack anyone. But the truth of the matter is there. The proof is in the pudding, as they would say. It's all right there. We cannot deny what's happening. What we've lost primarily is God. And it's not that he's lost, it's just that we've pushed him away, number one. Number two, men and women have lost respect for one another. We've become a society that's all about me, me, me. I want, I need, give me. A microwave society is what they would call it. It's no longer microwave society. Microwave society, wanting instant gratification, is too slow now. But look, there's our problem. It's there, it's evident, but what can we do about it? Primarily, my friends, we need to run back to God, run back to church. There is no other answer. The government is not going to fix it. I just told you, the government, their own studies tell you that having the nuclear family is what they used to call it, the nuclear family, a father, a mother, and the children, your nuclear family. If you have that, chances are much higher that the children will be better off. Society, therefore, will be better off. Yet, they have the studies, yet they don't follow their own studies. So, no, government will not be the answer. And even if the government was doing this correctly, in the sense of looking at these studies and doing a lot more, it still doesn't matter. This responsibility does not belong to the government. Because we, as believers, aren't to go to the government, because government is not our God. God is God. Oh, well, why would I go back to God, one might say. Just look only at the Ten Commandments. Just that. Tell me if a society run only by the Ten Commandments and the society actually performed it, tell me that society wouldn't be better off. Don't lie, don't steal, don't cheat, honor your parents. What part of that wouldn't work in a given society? That's basically what the laws are. Don't lie, don't cheat, don't steal. Don't get jealous. Well, the jealous part isn't in our laws, but it was in the Ten Commandments. But number one, we need to go back to God. He must become our source again. And I'm not saying let's go rally and put God back into schools. I would prefer that God is in schools. But I'm more concerned that he is in you. I'm more concerned that God is in your home more than God being in the schools. I'm more concerned that God is in your heart, that you confess him with your mouth, Jesus, than God being in the government. Do I want that to happen? Of course I do. I want God to be recognized in this country again. In God we trust, and standing on that statement. But God must become number one again in your life. Go back to God, because God is our foundation. And if you have a strong foundation, now you must allow him to build in your life. And how does he build in your life? By you allowing him to move in your life. And that's only going to happen if you go back to church. It's only going to happen if you spend time with him in prayer. There's no other way this is going to happen. And the second part is, whether you're male or female, you need to be responsible. We can no longer blame our parents, blame society, blame everything that we can blame. The blame starts with us. Me. You. You may not have had the perfect parent. Maybe you grew up in a broken home, so maybe you know what I'm talking about. But we are going to be different, because primarily we have God, and number two, we're going to be responsible. We're going to learn from our mistakes, from our past mistakes, from our friends and family's mistakes, and do the best that we can to make it better. And let me define better. Better has nothing to do with money. I'm not saying don't go to work. I would encourage you to go to work. I would encourage you to create a savings for your children, to leave something behind for your children. I would very much encourage you, but do not allow that to become your God, because that is another part of where we have lost focus. The generation before mine grew up poor, some coming from the Depression, and their children grew up perhaps poor. And because they grew up poor or lacking, they, in their own minds, thought to themselves, I will not allow my kids to go through that. Good intentions? Yeah, very good intentions. Where my generation today got air conditioners, yet lost common sense, to the point where in the last election, we actually had a socialist running for office. What an embarrassment. After what this country has experienced and gone through, fighting socialism, to have that running in its own country. This isn't a talk about politics. I want you to see what's happening here. When God is kicked out and responsibility is frowned upon, the fruit becomes rotten. And I'm speaking to the new generation growing up, many millennials out there. God bless you guys. I think you've had it tough, but you're not hopeless. You guys get a lot of flack, but again, you're not hopeless. Any other generation, I don't care where you are in life, it isn't hopeless. There's nothing hopeless. You have God. If you have God, nothing is hopeless. But you have to accept the fact that it's just not going to go the way you want it to go sometimes. You may have a direction in your mind, but God may not go that direction. Well, doesn't God know where I want to go and what I want to do? Yeah, he does. But he's also God. God knows better than you, me, and all of us put together. Remember, he's God. So he will not take you down a path that leads to nowhere. That's not his style. That's never been his style. But you want to see things change? Be responsible. What that means is begin to look within, asking the Lord for direction, but look within yourself and ask the Lord to reveal your errors, where you're wrong, where you can improve. My friends, someone else isn't going to change it. Someone else isn't going to fix your life. You must do it with your own hands. You must do this with your own will. God will not change it unless you walk. But you've got to be willing to walk. You've got to be willing to admit your mistakes. In life, there is no reset button. We have to accept the problems, the issues that we all have. We have to learn to deal with it, to cope with it, and to move forward. If you're looking for a spouse, you need to start thinking with your head. Thinking to yourself, how will this person be a good spouse? Will they be a good mother? Will they be a good father? It can't stop at just looks. It can't stop at how much money they make. Those are important things. I'm not saying don't do that. But they can't be the only thing. Does that potential spouse not just have the potential? Forget potential. Do they have it now? Whether they're going to school, do they have a plan? Do they know where they're going in life? Maybe you've heard the saying of, if you don't have a plan happens to you. You choose someone who has a plan in life. They're going places. They have direction. And I'm not talking about someone who wants to be a rock star. Actual realistic goals. Are they patient? Will they be forgiving? Are they understanding? These are important things. If they're not, don't waste your time. Don't go forward. It will hurt more later than it hurts now leaving them. Do not marry potential. Potential is a gamble. If you're already married, like I said earlier, can you too accept your faults? And if you can, move forward, find healthy solutions, resolutions, without attacking each other. It goes all back to being responsible. Irresponsibility has become king today. Will you break it? Will you be the bigger person and allow God to move in your life? Because that's how you become responsible. Maybe you feel like you've tried all this. Maybe you feel like you have been responsible. And you're saying to yourself, I've done this. I've tried this. It doesn't work. Well, my friend, I want to encourage you. It does work. The issue is, you just haven't found the answer yet. All that means is whatever you're doing needs a shift. It might mean speaking to new people, different people, to get better direction, clarity in your direction in life. Because if you keep going to the same people, you're probably going to get the same answers. So my friends, do not count on government, on friends, on family, on a job. Count on God to give you the direction that you need to go. And then learn to be responsible. You want to see a country change to be better? Be responsible. We must get back to a place where masculinity for men is praised, but women are respected by being loved and cherished and not used. This is a giant challenge, a huge challenge. It's going to be very difficult to attempt this. But don't look left, don't look right. You keep going forward, keeping your eyes on God, His direction, and staying steady and responsible. All because your neighbor isn't doing it, all because your friends aren't doing it, doesn't mean you shouldn't be doing it. You want to see sexual harassment drop? You want to see an elimination of school shootings? It only happens when man bends his knee to God. Try it and watch what happens. Until next time, God bless you.
Thank you for listening to Finally Alive Radio. If God has touched your heart with any part of today's message, let Gary know by contacting him on finallyaliveradio.com. Would you like to download this episode for free? Now you can. finallyaliveradio.com has every episode ready for download absolutely free. We'll meet you again next time when we look at God's Word with your very own Christian counselor, Gary Aris, and learn how to finally be alive in Christ.